Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of John. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
All right, let me say good evening to everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. We do want to welcome you here tonight. Tonight we'll be studying out of John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we will begin looking at the upper room discourse, or the upper room teaching of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our time of discussion together this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are. You are the God who hears and you answer prayers. Now, Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. For you are strength and you are redeemer, and besides you, there is no other. Lord, speak to all our hearts tonight in a special way so that we can truly hear a rhema word from you, O God. Touch in a mighty way. Encourage all of us, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are looking now in the upper room discourse. The upper room discourse. We have been studying the gospel according to St. John, and John's gospel is a gospel that is packed, is power-packed, with a lot of heavy teaching, a lot of very important teaching. In John 13 through 16 is what theologians call the upper room discourse. The upper room discourse is the final teaching of Jesus on the night before his death on the cross. The setting for this teaching occurred in an upper room in Jerusalem. That's why it's called the upper room discourse. There, Jesus ate the Last Supper and taught his disciples many things. Tonight, I want us to look at three lessons that Jesus taught his disciples in this upper room discourse. The first lesson that Jesus taught his disciples was a lesson on humility. It was a lesson on humility. The Bible says in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Isn't that good news? Amen. That's good news to know that God won't give up on you. He loved you to the end. As a matter of fact, I want you to jot down a scripture for me. Philippians 1 and 6. Philippians 1 and 6. And when you get home, I want you to read that scripture, and I want you to memorize it. That's some homework for you. That scripture basically says, he that began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. What that basically says is once God gets started working on you, he never stops till he finishes. And he's not going to finish until either you die or until Jesus come back and get you in the rapture. Isn't that good news? Because sometimes you can get yourself in a situation, you may fall into sin, and then the devil just jumps on you. You know why the devil is the devil? The devil is the devil because when you down, he jumps on you with all fours. Now, that ain't nothing but the devil. I mean, when you're down, you need somebody to come and pick you up. But the devil does, I mean, he pushed you down even farther. Thank God that Jesus, even when we are down, he don't even give up on. Even when we done him wrong, he don't do us wrong. He's a good God. Now, that's a good God to me. You may can't say amen because you don't realize yet just how bad you are and how good God is. But if you ever really knew that you'd done something bad and terrible, and God forgave you for it anyway, you can't help but praise Him. You can't help but praise Him. Oh my goodness, you can't help but praise Him. Whew. The Bible says, and during supper, the devil, oh my goodness, do you see how the devil keeps showing up? Do you know that the devil, a lot of times folks are surprised to find the devil at church. He beat you there. He's always hanging around church people. Because what he want to try to do, he want to try to bring you back down. The devil hates to see you get up. Look at what he said. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, taking a towel, he girdled himself about. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he girdled, which he was girdled. Isn't that something? Now I want you to think about this. If you knew you was getting ready to die tomorrow, what would you do? You knew when you got home, you're going to have supper and that's going to be your last one. What would you do? Now Jesus, knowing that tomorrow I'm finna die. Matter of fact, he's getting ready to get arrested in just a couple of hours. He's getting ready to get arrested. Notice what he did. He looked around and said, listen here, you know, we need to wash some feet here. Folks done been in such a hurry. And the Bible says they came in there arguing about who's the greatest. Who should sit next to Jesus in the kingdom. One going to sit on the right and one going to sit on the left. And James and John, mama had already asked for them. You know, let my boys, the sons of Zebedee, since they own Zebedee's fishing enterprise, you know, my boys, they need to, one need to sit on the right and one sit on the left. They don't need to be down there with them poor fishermen. They need to be on up there next to you, Jesus. They arguing, all 12 of them arguing over who going to be the greatest. Now, normally when you get in the house, and during those days, they was walking the dusty roads and they had sandals. And so whenever you would come into a house, they had a servant that would meet you there with a towel and a basin or a bucket or a bowl, and they would wash your feet. But we got 12 guys, and any of them could have washed the feet. But why come they can't wash no feet? Let Peter wash the feet. Let James wash the feet. I ain't washing no feet. I mean, why come I got to wash the feet? Matter of fact, that didn't even come across their mind. They thinking that now that we're coming, you know, we done made our way to Jerusalem, I mean, it's going to go down. Jesus is going to be forced to come on and show that he's got all this power to become king. And so, hey, I got to get my position right quick. That's what they thinking about. Now, Jesus is thinking totally opposite. He ain't thinking about becoming the king for man so that man can just have more fish sandwiches. Yeah, you know, they was ready to make Jesus king. You know, anytime somebody can take, you know, two lit sardines and Hungry Jack biscuits and feed 5,000 folks. Hey, he need to be king around here. You see what I'm saying? But Jesus ain't even thinking. Jesus ain't even thinking about living. He's thinking about dying. So he says, let me get down. They ain't even thinking about washing feet. Let me wash their feet. And he washed every one of them feet. Now, whenever Jesus do anything, there's always a lesson. And what he's trying to teach them, if you want to be great, then you need to become a servant. You think about it. people who are great are people who have served others. Amen? Amen. People who are great are people who serve. It's not people who want folks to serve them. It's people who serve. Our mothers are great. You know why they're so great? It's because, man, they serve. Amen? I mean, they cook. Now, see, if you had to come home and cook all the time for mama, then she wouldn't be so great in your mind. But because she done most of the cooking, when you couldn't cook for yourself particularly, she's great. Amen? Amen? Folks who are great are folks who serve. And so Jesus was teaching them a lesson on humility. And the way up is starting by going down. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to go up, you start by going down. So that was a powerful lesson. Now keep in mind, what Jesus is doing, this upper room discourse is probably some of the most important teaching that Jesus ever taught. Why did Jesus wait till just an hour, a couple of hours before he died to wash their feet? Because I'm pretty sure this wasn't the first time that they done made it to the house and ain't nobody, you know, got the bucket and bowl and washed feet. A lasting impression. See, what a person, the last conversation you have with them before they die, you'll never forget it. The last meal that they had, you'll never forget that last meal. Every time you have fried chicken, if that was the last meal that mama had or daddy had, sister had, you know, y'all had some Kentucky fried chicken. Every time you eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, you'll think about that person. Yeah. What Jesus is doing, Jesus is bringing down a powerful lesson. He's putting a word picture here of really how we ought to serve one another. If our church is to be the kind of church that God wants our church to be, we're going to have to learn how to serve one another. We can't have self-service. We got to learn how to serve one another. We got to learn how to wash somebody else's feet. Now, look here in the text, Jesus illustrates this lesson on humility by washing feet. Because basically what he's saying, if I can wash feet, then you ought to be able to wash feet. Did you catch that? Amen. If Jesus can wash feet, then you ought to be able to wash feet. See, a lot of times we say that, let one of them kids do that because I'm too good for it. Let one of those ladies do that. You know, us men ain't got no business cooking around here. See, what do that mean? We're too good for that. You see. Oh, let somebody else clean the bathroom. Pastor, you don't have to do that. Let him do that. Why has that person got a point? Huh? They say, Pastor, you don't have to do it, but they skip themselves and say, huh? So what they basically said, Pastor, me and you, we too good, but that person there, and now they, that's a job fit for them. You know, we handle the big stuff. Let them handle the little stuff. Isn't that how we look at things? See, we rank people in the church, and we rank jobs in the church. And so we say, now this is a big job. You know, so everybody, they want to sing, but nobody want to pick up any paper out here. Somebody else ought to pick up the paper. Huh? See, we got singing a lot higher than picking up the paper. Wait a minute. Ain't the ground out there belong to the Lord? If you're going to sing in here, if you're singing for the Lord, if you pick up paper, you're doing it for the Lord. So whether you're picking up paper or whether you're singing, it ought to be for the Lord. The bottom line is, whatever the need is, you ought to be willing to humble yourself to take care of that need. So he's teaching us a powerful lesson. So what Jesus is saying, whenever you see a need, you do it. Don't be trying to pick. I'm greater. See, that's the greater syndrome. Pastor, I'll get somebody to do that. No, I ask you. That's what I'm saying. Huh? It's a test of humility. Amen. 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 Now, Paul taught this teaching on humility. Oh, I wish we had time. Over in Philippians chapter 2, but you can look at this when you get home. Verse number 5 and verse number 11. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who was being in the very form of God, did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross, the worst kind of death. And see, we look at the pictures of Jesus dying on the cross. We look at him up there in underwears. In Bible day, they strip you naked. Now, isn't that something? That's humility. The death of the cross. And the Bible says God has highly exalted him now. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The greatest trial brings the greatest reward. See, if you're going through a tough trial, that means God is trying to give you the best reward. A little trial means a little reward. A big trial means a big reward. So you ought to hang in there when you're going through a big trial, because God has got a big reward waiting on you. Amen. 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 And even Peter learned the lesson on humility, and Peter talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse number 5 and 6, Peter talked about being humble. He tells us that God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. That's what Sister Sanders was talking about. That's very true. Matter of fact, I was trying to teach that 2 Sundays ago about the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. In order for that man to get up and walk, he needed some grace. Even for God to come into his life, that was grace. That man wasn't no better than nobody else at the pool. You think about out of hundreds and thousands of folks laying at the pool, Jesus only healed that one man. That man wasn't the best man at the pool. Jesus didn't go through it and say, no, you ain't good enough. Oh, that's the best man there. Let me get him healed. No, Jesus just looked at the man and had pity on him and says, hey, man, do you want to be made whole? The man had been in that situation so long, he started telling Jesus about his problem. That ain't what Jesus came to hear. So often God be asking us, do you want something? We tell him, God, see, I can't get no job because this here and then the man, I went on over there, God. But God didn't ask y'all that. He said, do you want a job? See, we are so into justifying why my situation is like this, why I ain't changed. Let me tell you why I ain't changed yet. We got to prove to people why my situation hadn't changed. So folks won't keep looking down on us. And everybody that's feeling good about the situation is you. Because that person ain't convinced. You ain't changed their mind. They still thinking, if they thinking bad about you, they left there thinking bad about you. I don't know what it means. You know, they said some stuff, but to me, they just don't want to work. You see, if people are thinking like that, there's nothing you can do to change their mind. You see what I'm saying? For a moment that may pacify, but a week later they say he still ain't got one. You see what I'm saying? That's how people think. If people are compassionate, they're going to be compassionate. And if they're not compassionate, they're just not going to be. People are just set in a certain way until God come into their life and change it. Amen. Amen. And so it's the grace of Almighty God that God will give you more grace to be humble. It's a lot of things. And see, God is testing us to see whether or not we're going to do these certain jobs. See, the will of God, most of the time, we reject the will of God because of our pride. We don't want to do God's will because I'm too good for that. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Amen. If God called you to preach, if God called you to teach, a lot of times I say, oh, okay, I'll go and do it, but I want to be a computer scientist. I want to go to school and, you know, and be a computer scientist. You see what I'm saying? We think when you accept God's will, you're taking a step down. No, when you accept God's will, you're going up. You're taking a step up. You're climbing up. Oh, my time is running out. I wish we had more time. Let's go on. The second lesson is holiness, because we're going to get all three lessons. We're going to get all three lessons. And it ain't going to take us all night. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that's the best amens I done got tonight. Ain't that something? It's not going to take us all night. All right. Amen. Christ is teaching Peter the difference here. I want you to see the difference between fellowship and sonship, because when Jesus come to Peter in verse number 6, and he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Peter said, wait a minute, Jesus. You ain't gonna wash my feet. I mean, you Jesus. You don't have to wash mine. That ain't right. You the Lord. Now, he did pick up on something, didn't he? Amen. The Lord. Peter said, yeah, no. You don't have to wash mine. But notice what Jesus answered, because he was teaching a powerful truth. What I tell you, anything Jesus do, there's always a lesson to it. Look what Jesus said. Jesus says, what I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Now, take that word never out your vocabulary as a Christian. Don't ever say never. God will make you change the never. Look, Peter says, never shall you wash my feet, Jesus. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Notice what Peter said, verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I need a bag. He said, come on, give me a bag. Don't stop at my feet. Now, Peter's been honest with the Lord. When Peter found out that what Jesus was really talking about had spiritual sent down the
glory. If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.